Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to another wonderful episode of the Super View Show's Mixed Bag, coming to you live once again from many caves. As always, I'm the J-Man, of course, joined by my two esteemed panelists, Bill Murphy. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing good, buddy boy. How are you?
Doing well. And Justin Farr, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to have all of us back once again. As always, so we have a very just a friendly reminder of that we the best podcast. Damn right. And so Bill, Justin, and I were discussing earlier today, or I think yesterday too, about what we should do our topic for tonight. And Bill, what is our topic again for our show tonight?
Well, this Sunday is Easter,
mm-hmm.
And also happy Passover to all our Jewish viewers.
Yes.
Basically, what better way to celebrate this holiest of weeks?
It is a pretty holy week.
By celebrating the movies that the religious heads don't want you to see.
Yeah, tonight we're talking about movies that were boycotted for religious reasons. And, okay, I just want to make some things very clear. This is not a bash fest on religion.
No, we understand that all art is subjective, and you know, some of these movies do have themes that might rattle some feathers, especially people of faith. So, it's understandable that they would boycott. Does that make them always right? No, but it makes it understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And listen, like, this is, again, we're not, people are entitled to believe what they believe in. And we are not saying whether you are right or wrong in your beliefs. That's why they're called your beliefs.
And your opinions too.
Yeah.
And we just want to say we're not making fun of religion or people who do believe.
Nope, not at all.
But we can agree on this. There are people who give certain faiths a bad name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're not criticizing these people because of their religious faith.
Nope.
But we're criticizing them because of, Justin, help me out here.
We're criticizing them because they judged the movie before they even saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that is a very unfair statement to say. And because, you know, before we go in, because this movie wasn't necessarily boycotted by the church, but there were a lot of Catholic groups that were very not happy about it.
Right.
And it just was released this year. And Justin, I think you know what I'm talking about.
I believe I do.
Conclave.
Yeah.
And a lot of Catholic groups were not happy about, they did boycott it, but they weren't thrilled with the movie.
Yeah.
And okay, you know, well, we might as well start. This is our official pick. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, for those of you who've never seen the movie, it was just released last October. And I saw it, Justin saw it, and Justin, what did you think of the movie?
I really liked it.
I really liked it too, actually. JT, I don't think you've seen it, have you?
I heard it was nominated for Best Picture. I wanted to see it, but I did not. So the floor is yours, gentlemen.
I really liked the movie. Well, here was the thing. Well, here was the plot of the movie. The Pope dies. And so we get what is seen as the conclave. And what the conclave is, after the Pope dies, it's selected as that it is select that it is the ritual to select the new Pope.
And it's done very behind closed doors, very hush hush.
And you know, you have the Dean of the College of Cardinals, played by Ralph Fiennes.
One of the best.
Guess what we're going to see next year, Justin?
Make Ralph Rafe again?
Oh, he's going to win the Lifetime Achievement Award, isn't he? Probably. Which is basically, as we call it,
the Oscar award. For those who never won an Oscar.
So, congratulations! You finally won something! Congrats! But anyway, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, played by Fiennes, is presiding over the conclave. And, you know, there are different, you know, they show different factions of the Catholic Church. They show Stanley Tucci's character, who represents the more liberal faction. You have, I forgot, the guy who, the African cardinal who's like super conservative. And then you have Cardinal Tedesco, played by the Italian actor who was very good, who represents the far right. Justin, that's fair to say.
The pre-Vatican II. Fundamentalist.
And you could tell the guy's kind of not only is he traditionalist, he's also racist.
Oof. Yeah.
Because when he's looking, you know, when he's talking to Ray Fiennes' character before the conclave, he goes, look at them over there, and he's pointing to cardinals from like Africa, Latin America, going, look at them, look at that. Basically, how commentary that Catholicism is not as Eurocentric as it used to be. It's now more global.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm wearing my Catholic nerd hat too, Justin. So,
well, a little bit of an Italian lesson for y'all.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what Tedesco translates to?
What?
I should know this.
German.
Really?
Yep.
So do you think they were trying to make a
possibly
comparison?
It's possible.
But there is like different things, like, and there's also this one cardinal who was appointed in secret. And Justin, should we give away the ending or not really?
It's up to you both.
I mean, here's the thing. It's crucial to the reason why the movie was criticized by members of the Catholic Church.
Should we say the ending or should we just roll with it?
Spoiler warning now.
If you haven't seen this movie, you might want to fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, or skip ahead on the podcast feed.
Sorry, JT.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay, or now's a good time to take a bathroom break if you're watching us live.
Okay, so the cardinal who was there, like, trying to investigate, like, okay, why was he in secret? And it says that he was at this clinic, and they're saying, okay, well, why was he at the clinic? And then that cardinal was elected pope. And then when they find out he was involved in a hysterectomy... I know, that's just as weird as it sounds.
Roll with us here.
Ray Fiennes talks to him, and he's just been elected Pope. Like, he's ready to... He's, like, getting ready to put the white vestments on. And Cardinal Lawrence, who's played by Ray Fiennes, is like, you kind of owe me an explanation. And Justin, do you think he owes him an explanation? He kind of does. What do you think? Of all the other weird things that have happened in this movie, I think we need more explanations. Yeah, other stuff. There's an African cardinal who apparently had an affair with this woman who became a nun and had a kid with her. And also there was John Lithgow's character, Cardinal Tremblay, was basically paying people off and committing simony. I don't really know what that is, but that's what Google exists.
And then Tedesco, who is just the worst.
And you know what the weird thing about Tedesco is? He really doesn't do anything.
I know, which is why I had to just say he's just the worst.
And he's just a bad person. But anyway, it turns, so Ray Fiennes goes to this cardinal and he goes, okay, you're about to be the most important person in the world, like most important man in the world right now. I need to know. And he had told him that he was born a man, and when he was older, when he was in his 30s, he got an appendectomy and it turned out he had female organs.
Essentially, he was intersex.
And he said at first the Pope was going to pay for the procedure to get those removed, but he said, you know what, God made you the way you are. And Ray finds his character, agrees to take it, to keep it a secret. And yeah, a lot of Catholics were not too happy about this movie. But they didn't boycott it like some of the other stuff we're going to talk about, but they were not thrilled.
I mean, it raises questions. Questions that a lot of Catholics probably don't want to even think about or even entertain.
And like, here's the thing. Bishop Robert Barron, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's a bishop in somewhere in Minnesota. He actually did, at first when he was a priest, he actually did a lot of movie reviews. And then I don't know if he still does it as a bishop, but he said that this movie is basically a Catholic movie that was written by the New York Times editorial board. Basically calling this movie super liberal. But what do you mean that it deals with things that Catholics don't want to answer?
Could there be an intersex pope? I mean, think about it. Like, you would need to have some sort of procedure done in order to really know. Chromosome wise, you probably still have your Y chromosome. And it's probably, to a lot of Catholics, it goes a little too close into the a certain other issue.
Yes. But you know what? My priest, I'm not going to give out his name. And JT knows him too. I highly doubt he watches this.
No, he doesn't.
I highly doubt he watches.
We're not disclosing who you are either. We're just saying.
We're not going to disclose his name, but I asked him about this movie, and he said, this is just a hit job on the church. But is it? Is it really just a hit job of the Catholic Church?
No, because all it says is that, yeah, it's not perfect, but goodness can prevail.
It's an institution run by imperfect men.
And that's kind of the point of Catholicism, is that we are imperfect and we beg for forgiveness.
And these are people who have some flaws, but that doesn't necessarily make them bad people. Except Tedesco. And again, he doesn't really do anything. He's just a terrible person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he says some stuff that makes you cringe. But again, what does he really do? Justin, what does Tedesco really do?
He rallies up support for himself. That's it.
That's what really happens in conclaves. But other than that, he is...
Oh, wait. He does smoke indoors.
That is horrible, isn't it, Justin?
I know. Hashtag cancel Tedesco.
Nah, he smoked indoors. Simony, bad. Having an affair with someone, then covering it up when you're supposed to live a life of celibacy? Really bad.
Fuck that. He smoked indoors.
But smoking indoors, that's where we draw the line, good sir. That's where we draw the line.
Arson, murder. That's baby shit compared to smoking indoors.
Smoking indoors. Do you think he was smoking in the boys' room, Justin? Because when is he going to know that smoking ain't allowed in the Vatican?
He probably smokes in the little boys' room.
Dude, okay.
All right. I'm sorry. That's...
Cancel, Justin.
That was too far. I'm sorry.
Hashtag cancel, Justin.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm not getting canceled this time, buddy. You are. Okay, let's move along. Justin, you start.
I'm trying to behave myself tonight.
It's Holy Week. Behave yourself.
Stop being a rebel. Just kidding. No. So we're good with Conclave. Where do you guys want to go next?
All right, Justin.
So my movie, my first movie is one of my favorite 90s movies, actually.
What is that?
It's a movie called Dogma.
Okay, heard of it, but I've never seen it.
What is it called again? Dog what?
Dogma. It is a Kevin Smith movie. For anyone who knows Kevin Dogma, Smith,
just JT, Dogma.
So yeah. Everyone's good. My spelling is terrible when we do this stuff.
For those of you who don't know, Kevin Smith created this universe of movies called the Viewsk universe. Essentially it's the Jay and Silent Bob universe, the Clerks universe. And in the late 90s he announced that he was gonna do this movie that is a riff on Catholicism. It stars this abortion clinic atheist who really has it out against God, who is chosen to stop these two fallen angels from entering this chapel in Jersey where the reverend of this church decides to forgive the sins of anyone who attends this this event. Because if these fallen angels enter the church, it would go against the will of God. The will of God, which would make God not all powerful and would unravel the fabric of existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that old shtick. And I think the reason why a lot of Catholic groups did not want this film seeing the light of the day was blasphemy. I mean, your protagonist is an abortion clinic clerk. Who just criticizes God like throughout most of the movie up until a point. Supporting characters includes a muse who is a stripper. The 13th apostle. Played by Chris Rock. Jay and Silent Bob are just the crassest characters ever. And you had Alan Rickman as Metatron. It's quite frankly, it's one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies.
I've never seen it, so I can't speak to the matter.
Well, there was a lot of Catholic protests about it, and honestly, it probably did the movie more good than harm.
Yeah, it was also protested by the Catholic League. And by someone, and I am saying this as a practicing Catholic, someone who we do not want representing us as Catholics, and that is Bill Donahue. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know who that is, which is probably most of you, Bill Donahue is the head of the Catholic League for Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. Now you're thinking, oh, Bill, are you against civil rights and civil liberties? Absolutely not. But their civil rights and civil liberties are kind of different from what... You know what? Let me just say this. He is one of those people that finds... That basically sits around and watches movies and TV to find something to complain about.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
That guy.
And no, we're not even doing the That Guy song because he doesn't even deserve it.
Okay.
Because he literally just finds things to complain about.
Wow.
And when this movie came out, he was one of the voices that was leading the choir in this. That it was bad, that it was anti-Catholic. And that there were protests. But you know what's the funny thing that Kevin Smith did?
He joined the protests.
He joined the protests. You gotta give him credit for that. That's funny.
And he was even interviewed by a news anchor who didn't recognize him. And here's the thing. When he showed up to the protest, there was like 14 people protesting. It was a very small protest.
And you have the right to protest. We live in America. You have the right to protest.
But come on.
And
Dogma made make Catholicism seem kind of awesome in some regards. I mean, it had Alanis Morissette as God. Literally, Alanis Morissette is God.
Really? That's pretty interesting.
And her voice would make your head explode.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there were protests at the latest released in many countries and at least 2 death threats from Kevin Smith. Yeah, because that's what Jesus would do. And a lot of those threats were probably from Bill Donahue.
So you guys want to go to the 25th anniversary screening?
Is there one around us?
There might be in June.
Sure, coming soon. A recap of this movie live from the Super Bowl.
Maybe I'll give it a watch. I've never watched it before. So, but you know what? For months later, Kevin Smith actually said that Bill Donahue actually invited him out for a beer after, like, 6 months later.
Huh.
To apologize. Yeah, after he made my life hell for 6 months, he wants to now invite me for a beer. Justin, would you go?
No.
JT, would you go?
No.
Me neither. Listen, you have no right to sit here and play moral high ground after you just made my life hell for 6 months. So you can go kick rocks.
Yeah, punk.
Yeah. So, okay, that's a dogma. All right, JT, batter up.
All right, batter up. The Yankees are tied right now. Just letting you guys know. 3-3.
We want wins.
I know, Kansas City, how dare you. Anyways, we're getting sidetracked already. My pick was one of the ones I was doing a couple bit. I don't know if I'm going to swipe right with either one of you, but I'm just curious. But it's Monty Python. And I mean, you can go with any one of the three of the original ones, but I would say either Monty Python, the Holy Grail, or Life of Brian. Which one should we go to?
I mean, Life of Brian is the one that directly deals with.
Okay. Mind you, I've not seen this movie in a long time, but what I do remember of it, it was very, 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 let's make fun of the Holy Catholic Church and go from there kind of thing. You know, I wanted to bring it up, but I feel like Justin's going to overrule me on this. So Justin, if you want to chime in at any point, please do. This movie was maybe like 83, right? If I'm not mistaken.
This was made in the 70s.
Oh, 79. You're right. I'm sorry. It was 1979. So in the midst of like the aftermath of The Exorcist and the aftermath of like, you know, the Alien and whatnot too, like Monty Python puts out Life of Brian. And oh dear God, it's a very funny movie. Don't get me wrong, but it makes fun of the church so hard. Justin, can you elaborate on this a little bit for me, if that's okay?
Essentially, this tells the story of Jesus' next-door neighbor, Brian, who gets recruited by the anti-Romans to go against the Holy Roman, I mean, the Roman Empire, because it hasn't become the Holy Roman Empire yet. And in doing so, he gets mistaken for the Messiah and draws upon the worship of the masses until he is captured by the Romans and crucified.
Gives us a valuable lesson.
He sure does.
In
song format, too, because it's Monty Python and everything.
Guess what that is?
What's that, Bill?
Always look on the bright side of life.
That's a great song, too.
He's the Messiah. I wrote the Messiah.
Now, the Messiah here. He is not the Messiah. He is a very naughty boy.
Terminal breath.
All right, Bill, let's not get a copyright notice.
Oh, come on.
How do you see the Super Show copyright notices?
Oh, I think YouTube has better things to do.
There. He's got a flag. I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, The Life of Brian, I mean, this is something else. I mean, if you've never seen any of the Monty Python films, first off, you're missing out. But get on it. They're some of the funniest, most outrageously hysterical, funny movies of all time. And they make fun of the Catholic Church hardcore with these guys from Britain.
Like, no, this movie got, you know, because they made fun of the crucifixion.
Yep. Mm.
And saying it was mocking Jesus' suffering by turning it into a jolly boys outing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that thing goes, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when he's in prison? Oh, you'll probably get away with crucifixion.
Well.
And, you know, the movie was there was a lot of criticism for it and said it was blasphemous. But is it really blasphemous?
I mean, yeah, but... But as a secular raised person, I really don't care.
As a Catholic person, I think we gotta be willing to have a little bit of a sense of humor. Like, they're making fun of Brian getting crucified, not Jesus getting crucified.
Is Brian Jesus in this case, though?
No, he got mistaken for Jesus.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, this movie was banned for 8 years in Ireland.
Oh, my God. Well, I wonder why.
Well, because, and also, like, here's a funny story from someone we know, a friend of ours. If you're watching, you know who you are. His father went to Catholic school. And they said, anyone who go watches this movie is going to get suspended. And they had a priest and a nun literally stand outside the theater, seeing if they recognized any of the kids.
Wow.
See, if I was any of those kids, I would have gone to the next town over.
I'm like thinking, do you people really have anything better to do? Oh, someone, Maria McCauley, it sort of assumes Jesus was unremarkable for being crucified. Okay, you know, that's a fair point. That is a very fair point.
Good point.
That's exactly. A very fair point. But the film itself is making fun of Brian, not Jesus.
Mm.
Like, they're mistaking Brian for Jesus. And, but...
Poor Brian.
Honestly, if anything, it makes fun of the idea of how you can form a religion around something very mundane. And not saying that who Jesus was mundane, but you see all these new age religions nowadays and how you can basically create a religion out of anything. So I think the point of the movie's been repeated many times over just by looking at all the new age religions that have been formed over the years. Just how people are looking for something to believe in, and honestly, if it gives them comfort, more power to you.
But you know, besides the always bright side, you know what's also funny? Goes, it's a funny name, like Biggest Dickus.
If you, like I said, if you out there have never heard of Monty Python and the Holy Grail or Life of Brian or Meaning of Life. Oh, you're missing out on something really, really, really funny.
And what do they tell the actress? She goes, if you laugh,
you're fired.
You're sacked. So that's why they're holding it in. Goes, I had a very good friend in Rome named Biggest Dickus.
Oh, we're going hardcore art tonight, gentlemen. There we go.
Just wait until Biggest Dickus hears about this.
Is with the flesh thing.
Michael Palin was working hard.
God bless Michael Palin. God bless Monty Python.
I want to say something so funny, but I'm we get canceled for it. I don't want to say it though.
Okay, I guess if we have to move right along. And you know what? Actually, before we move on, you know what Monty Python actually did?
What?
They re-released this movie in 2004 because another film about Jesus was released.
Oh.
God. Oh.
Yikes.
And they wanted to cash in on the controversy from The Passion of the Christ. All I gotta say is Monty Python. Well played.
Well, those guys are.
We admire your soullessness.
10-4. Hey, we might as well cash in on this.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? Well played. Well played, guys. Well played.
Why be smart when you could be dumb? But it's smart humor.
Because I don't think The Life of Brian is The Passion. It's a parody of The Passion.
It's the parody of The Passion of the Christ of The Passion.
I had a very good friend in Rome, Biggestigus.
Biggestigus.
We need to Biggestigus hears about this. But anyway.
So bad. Oh, we're going.
Okay, so.
It's okay.
I'm sorry to be the downer now. It's my turn.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
Okay, we're going to have to go to a real big one.
Do we have to? We were just talking about Life of Brian.
I'm the last temptation of Christ.
Here we go.
Well, we got to talk about
you
it.
Took my other two.
Wait, you had Life of Brian on your list?
Yeah, and Last Temptation.
Well, wait, we can tag team this one.
Are you saying we just...
Okay.
A swipe thrice?
Ménage à toi.
Oh my god, what's going on? Okay, hold on.
Okay, but the film itself, it was actually based off of a novel by Nicholas Cortázar. I think that's how you say his name. And it was added to the Vatican blacklist.
So you know it's got to be good.
And this book actually got him excommunicated from the Greek Orthodox Church.
Jesus. Literally.
Exactly.
Sorry. That was actually good timing. I didn't even
And The Last Temptation of Christ is about what if Jesus chose not to die?
His last temptation.
Because when he's on the cross, there's a little girl that comes near him and says, you don't have to die now. You can live a regular life. And he takes it. And he ends up marrying Mary Magdalene and grows old, and all his disciples are not thrilled. And then it turns out that little girl was, guess what? El Diablo, the devil.
Yikes.
Nope. No scaring the little girl's joke here. We are not going to...
Scaring the little girl?
Hey! This is a solemn religious observance. But anyway. But no, the film itself, because Cortázar's, the message of the book was that Jesus, at the end of the day, while he was, and there's also a scene when he's on the cross, he's imagining making love to Mary Magdalene.
Mmm.
And guess how religious groups reacted to that?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Facts.
And you gotta look at it. And Cortázar's message of the novel was that if Christ could overcome his last temptation, even though he succumbs to it, he can redeem himself. Oh, Justin, you got that look on your face. What is it?
What look?
Oh, God. Bill's saying weird, smart things again.
Well.
Okay, didn't know I had a look.
Kidding. But, no, it's basically, a lot of people didn't like the film because it said it basically humanized Jesus too much.
Well, you know what? The whole idea of Jesus is he's fully divine and fully human.
That's true.
Well, guess what? This is a deconstruction and a reconstruction of his human side.
Yeah, because even like in the Catholic faith, saying that Jesus is fully human and not fully divine is what's called is a heresy called Arianism. But saying that Jesus is fully divine and not fully human is a heresy called Doxicism. Don't ask me to explain this. We'll be here forever. That's and I don't funny. Think the good people want to sit here and listen to me talk about this all night.
Okay, do fine. I won't ask you to explain both of them, but I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Which is worse?
Ooh.
In the eyes of the Catholic Church, which is worse?
Well, I don't think there is really a scale of heresy. Like, listen, Justin, I know I say I'm a Catholic, but I'm not an official representative of the Church. But
well, you might want to change your LinkedIn page then.
What did my LinkedIn page say?
Says you're an official representative of the Church in our region.
Okay, who put that there? Who put it there? But no. But to be honest, I
hacked your LinkedIn. I'm just
kidding. Are you asking me what the Church's position or what my position is?
Sure, well, let me get your position.
Well, I think both of them is bad. I think we got to embrace that Jesus is fully human, but that he is also fully divine. But I think you can't have one without the other, but you can embrace the certain parts of it. Does that make sense?
So are you calling it a first degree, second degree heresy?
That's not how heresies work. Jesus Christ, guys. God, I should have had my priest friend come on tonight. He could have helped us out here, but no, he didn't reach back to me. Thank you, buddy.
Going off the rails here, guys. But it's
but okay. No. The thing is, I don't think there is really a scale of heresies of which is worse, which is better. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it shows that Jesus himself was, aside from being fully divine, he was fully human. And yeah, that even human beings, because you know what it is? It's like a lot of people of faith view Jesus as the spotless, perfect human being. He wasn't. He had, you know, he had feelings. There's that story in the gospel of him getting angry at the money chasers who were in the temple. Like, he's not this perfect human being.
Yeah.
He is, you know, and this is not on my list, but I think what best attempts his struggles of what's going to happen to him is in the movie Jesus Christ Superstar when he sings the song Gethsemane, which it goes, I only want to say, when he's struggling, like, do I die and accept my fate or no? And then when he finally goes, okay, I'll die. But, you know, getting back to here, after he sees that, you know, I kind of screwed this up, God basically says, okay, give you a second chance. Poof. And he ends up dying. But I think the film, again, goes off what Kurosaki says. That even though he takes the last temptation, he does redeem himself. Justin, what do you say? I'm plugging in my laptop.
No, I absolutely agree with what you say. I feel like in order to truly understand Jesus, they really put him through I want to call it a stress test. Like earlier I said, they deconstructed Jesus and then reconstructed him. That is honestly a very popular trend nowadays, deconstructing and reconstructing, especially in film. It's very popular in superhero movies now. So in a way, I think this movie is actually ahead of its time. I think it would have I think it would have a warmer reception if it came out today. I think Catholics would still lambast it much more, but I think
yes.
I think the audience would be diverse enough where this would have a much better reception.
JT, what do you think?
Well, I think you guys hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I really don't have much else to say other than what you guys were talking about. You guys did a very good job of explaining. I think you both did a very good job of explaining it. Very detailed. I don't really have much else to say about it.
I just want to say, you know, I'm not defending this. I've never fully watched the film, so I can't really say one way or the other.
Isn't it? Like, how long is it? It's like a 3-hour movie or whatever, right?
I don't know how long it is.
Let's find out.
Justin, have you watched the movie?
I have not, actually.
It's 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Well, like, and like, the reaction to this movie, though, was how was this reaction?
Oh, wait,
Catholics
what?
Catholics hated it. Protestants hated it.
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone.
United Catholics and Protestants of how they hated, of how much they blasphemous they thought this movie was. And also, you know, like, Catholic voices like Mother Angelica from the founder of EWTN, may she rest in peace, and white Southern evangelical and like televangelists were decrying the film. And also, it went from just boycotts and protests to actually very dangerous. There was actually a far-right Catholic group in France that actually attempted to blow a theater that was up that was showing this movie.
Oh my God.
Listen, here's what I gotta say. If you think this movie is blasphemous, that is your right. You want to protest, fine. But do not attempt to hurt or kill people because they want to watch this movie.
Because the minute you even decide that's a good idea.
And you know what it is? And like, this is just anything. If you don't like this movie or you think it's offensive, you know what the best form of protest is?
Don't
watch it. Don't give them your money. Don't give them your business. Don't see it. It's that simple.
Talk with your wallet.
Yep.
Vote with your feet. If you don't want to see a movie because you think it's offensive, don't watch it. Don't see it. Don't give them your time. Don't give them your money. Don't give them your business. It's that easy.
This has been a PSA from Bill.
Yes, this has been a PSA from me.
And eventually they learned that lesson because this movie did not do well.
No, it didn't. But, you know, like I said, you have the right to protest, but don't, when you resort to harming people, then that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
And I can't believe people wanted to blow up a movie theater just because they were showing this movie.
Like, they kind of lost every lesson that Jesus taught in that instant.
Blow the other cheek? Screw that! I'm like, that was just, and listen, I'm not making fun of that. That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible. And, yeah, but anyway, this film was lambasted from Catholics, from Protestants, from everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised this movie didn't end Marty Scorsese's career. You, Justin?
Well, he still had Goodfellas in the chamber.
There you go, see?
So, yeah. Last Temptation of Christ. All right, Justin, even though I stole your pick, do you have another pick?
I don't. That was all three of my picks that we just went through.
JT, you got any picks?
There was one more that I wanted to touch on. I wanted to see if you guys...
What is it?
Have you guys seen this movie or not? It's it came out 11 years ago. Hard to believe it. Noah.
I haven't seen it, but I know religious groups went crazy over this.
Yeah, I do know about this.
With Russell Crowe as Noah. I've actually heard at one point they should have said Noah. They're based on a true story. But no, I'm just kidding. Noah.
They should get Darren Aronofsky to direct Passion of the Christ 2.
That'd be terrible. Would be funny though. I mean, you even. I remember the coming attractions for this too. I remember the trailers and stuff, but. So.
No, like, I forgot what was the big controversy. I think it was.
I forget why too.
I think it was that God actually spoke to Noah or something.
It was something about it being a very atheistic religious movie. Give me a couple minutes while I do some research.
Sure. You know what? That actually sparks an interesting conversation. If people want to do a film on a somewhat religious topic, should they have it as a religious film, or should they have it as objective? JT, what do you think?
I think it should be objective. I mean, it should be not as like, I don't know how to, I'm not sure what the right wording, but I think it should be much more. I don't know. I can't find the right wording. You know what I'm trying to say though, right? Like it should be a little more like, well, the context more than anything else. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. I think. But no,
I mean, Bill, have you seen this movie or no?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Starring Russell Crowe as Noah.
Getting off of Les Miserables.
And Emma Watson was just coming off of Harry Potter, so.
Oh, and also religious groups didn't like Harry Potter. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, that's also more fantasy than anything. It wasn't really based on books, but still. But other than this, I got nothing else.
Yeah, Justin. Okay. He's doing his research, so I actually have another pick, if you don't mind.
What do you got?
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code.
This was based on the novel by Dan Brown, starring Tom Hanks. And one of the big things in this movie was really just went absolutely nuts. They showed that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had an affair and may have fostered a love child. And they may have fostered a love child. And it's still banned in countries today. Like, I think it's still banned in the Philippines.
The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, because Philippines is a very Catholic country. Like, this movie actually received... Because it also had to do with, like, conspiracy theories... It had to do with conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the film is banned in Syria, Belarus, Lebanon, and Jordan. And also it was banned in Egypt from the Coptic Christian Church. And Pakistan actually banned it. The Philippines, like I said, Philippines banned it, calling it pornographic and blasphemous and the most pornographic and blasphemous film in history.
Did they really?
Yeah, in the Philippines, they banned it.
Wow. That's something right there, too.
You're learning stuff tonight, people.
Yes, you are. I am, too.
And the Vatican, of course, had something to say about it.
Mm-hmm. What did the Vatican say?
The Vatican said that the film was full of calumnies, offenses, historical and theological errors. And a group called Opus Dei, which is a very right-wing Catholic group, and they didn't boycott, but they actually asked Sony to edit the film so that it would not contain references that might be hurtful to Catholics.
Hmm.
And also, the American Catholic bishops launched a website called Jesus Decoded, refuting the critical claims in the novel that were about to be brought on screen, and the bishops were concerned that there were errors and serious misstatements in the Da Vinci Code. And the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Office of Film and Broadcasting denounced the depiction of Jesus and Mary Magdalene in a relationship deeply abhorrent. So yeah, this movie got a lot of flack.
Yikes. And it has Tom Hanks in it too.
One of the Tom Hanks! How can you not like Tom Hanks?
He's Tom Hanks, people.
Hey, Justin, you good yet?
Yeah.
What did you find?
I was just trying. Well, do you know that in the movie Noah kills some babies?
Did not know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that's not good then.
Yeah. Apparently, Noah in the movie was a more pragmatic character, whereas Noah in the story of Genesis was a more noble figure.
Huh.
Mm. And something about an army trying to raid the Ark.
Oh, for Noah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, did you hear what I was saying about the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I never saw it.
You know, we covered a kind of heavy topic tonight. You know what? Let's end on something light. You want to know something? This was a film that wasn't boycotted, but you want to know something? This was a Disney movie.
I did know that, yeah.
That one group of Christianity didn't like, but the others was okay with it. And you know what that was? You're going to laugh at this. Brother Bear. I'm not going to go into too much on this, but I just thought this was kind of funny.
Wait, what?
Justin and JT look very confused, don't you guys?
What are you talking about with Brother Bear?
Evangelicals didn't like the movie.
Evangelicals?
Yeah, really? They didn't like it. Because they thought it showed, like, about animals talking and something like that, that it was demonic or something like that. I can't remember why. But or something like that. Because Guys, animals don't talk in real life. Portraying talking animals, you know what that's worse than, Justin?
Smoking indoors?
Smoking indoors, Tedesco! Why? Oh, why did you smoke indoors? That is wrong! But, hey, at least they didn't smoke indoors. But, anyway, evangelicals didn't like it, so they thought it was basically demonic because animals talk. But Catholics liked it.
So, wait, did they have a problem with the Lion King, too?
I don't know what the... Okay, I think it was because of animals talking or because of earth worship or something like that.
Oh, because of shamanism, paganism, yada, yada, yada.
But...
Disney's Brother Bear.
United States Conference of Catholic Bishops actually liked the movie.
All right.
Because they actually thought it showed the spirit of St. Francis of Assisi, who is the patron saint of animals.
Mm.
Isn't that weird? Justin, what are your thoughts? Guys, what are your thoughts on that? Isn't that strange?
Yeah, strange.
Justin, what are you
thinking? Yeah, strange.
But at least they didn't smoke indoors. All right, guys, I think that's it.
I think that's it, right? We hit the big ones on the top of the head.
In the words of our dear friend Vinnie Levine's favorite band, there's nothing left to say now.
By Imagine Dragons.
There's nothing left to say now.
We want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoy it. Thanks so much for tuning to our podcast, as always, it's a very heavy topic, but we wanted to touch on something for Easter Sunday and Passover and all of our fellow religious friends out there. This is kind of a heavy topic, but I think we did a good job, Jeremy.
That was an interesting one.
Very interesting, for sure. Bill, you have a sports...
Sports Insanity podcast on the Esports Insanity Network. Check us out. We're on all platforms. NFL Draft is next week. We're going to have our live coverage on draft night next Thursday. Check us out.
Yes, and they do a fantastic job over there. And Justin's working his own podcast, too. No, I have no idea. I'm just making the joke, buddy. It's okay. No, but anyways, we want to thank you for watching us and having you enjoy tonight. So, listen, for all of us here at the Subaru Show, have a very happy, safe Easter, because we record this on Wednesday. It'll be up by Thursday. So, have a very safe and happy Easter if you're celebrating this year. So, thanks so much for watching us.
But for all of us, and don't forget to eat a lot of jelly beans and chocolate eggs.
Yes, it makes you pick up the eggs with a lot of money in them, too. Yeah. So, no, I'm just kidding.
For all of us here, stay safe.
Take care and...
Be awesome.